KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Last week, we invited six members of KUOW's Public Insight Network to our studios to talk politics. We were looking for a mix of people with a wide range of political perspectives. They gathered around the table in the studio, and I asked them to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Rob Franco. I'm from Fremont, and I'm a program manager at Microsoft.
I'm Rick Ware. I'm anesthesiologist from Everett, Washington.
I'm Pam O'Connell from Ravenna Springs. I'm an attorney.
I'm George Robertson from Beacon Hill. I'm an architect.
I'm Rena Koshy from Capitol Hill, and I'm a family practice physician.
And I'm Linda Carlson, and I'm a marketing consultant from Magnolia.
I kicked off the conversation by asking Republican Rob Franco if he'd talk about what big national issues concerned him the most and when he thinks about the presidential election in his daily life.
I think that the economy is really, you know, the leading and largest issue in this election. As a conservative myself, I intend and hope to be able to vote for Barack Obama again. And I want to say that it's important that the social justice programs that President Obama has been driving, that we continue forward with those, because I believe that they will generate growth and make America a stronger country. However, the economy is not growing fast enough, and the government doesn't seem to be able to pay for these projects. And that's a really serious concern, because I'm concerned that America won't be a strong country, you know, 10, 20 years from now, if we don't get the economy back on a strong growth track.
Rick Ware, how about you? You're an anesthesiologist from Everett, and you're an independent voter. What are the kind of national issues that you think about the most that affect your life the most, and do they lead you in either direction when it comes to the presidential race?
Yeah, I think the Affordable Care Act is a huge issue. It's a very complex issue, very difficult, something I'm very concerned about, how it will ultimately look, what implementations will eventually develop from it. I think it could be potentially hugely destructive.
Where are your concerns about it being destructive? What would you see it? What are you concerned about it destroying?
Well, we have a shortage of physicians now that will accept people Medicare. We're not going to have more physicians volunteering for that. So what I see is perhaps a compulsory element coming into it. If you want to practice medicine in America, you will have to provide care for those people.
So I would guess that this is leading you towards Mitt Romney, who said he would try to overturn the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
Not a strong yeah there.
Exactly. I think it's a complex situation. The Affordable Care Act does a lot of good things, but in a typical fashion, we have a mishmash of political cooperation, and things that were possible aren't necessarily things that should be done. And so the Affordable Care Act comes out as kind of an abomination with thousands of pages that nobody's read and costs that we haven't even begun to appreciate. So I would like to start over, but I do want it to happen. Mm-hmm. I want something to happen. I'd like to see more intelligent regulation of insurance companies, things like that.
Pam O'Connell, an attorney who described herself as a Dan Evans Republican but dropped out of the party earlier this year, as I understand it. What are the kind of top-tier issues for you when you think about what's going on in the country and think about this presidential race? What's right at the top?
Healthcare reform, Medicare, and Social Security. Not so much for myself, although partly because I have a pre-existing condition, but for my brother, who is disabled by a negligent driver.
And what about those things are you concerned about?
I'm concerned about Paul Ryan's budget, that he's going to cut off people from Medicare and Social Security. I realize the Affordable Care Act is not perfect, but it at least is a start. It's a start that we haven't had since Harry Truman was talking about reforming health care reform. It's not perfect, as Rick says, but it's a start, and I don't think we have to throw out the whole thing just to get it improved.
And is that leading you to President Obama?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to George Robertson next. George Robertson, a socialist, an architect who also lives in Seattle. What's on the top of your mind, George, when it comes to this election for the presidency?
I think we have a big problem with health care, and I think the Affordable Care Act is something. But I was lucky enough to live in Canada for about 5 years, so I know exactly what universal single-payer health care is, and it was terrific. It's hard for me to understand why we want to pay more for less in the United States.
Now, does that lead you to Obama or away from Obama? Because a lot of people who supported single-payer were very upset that the Affordable Care Act is not a single-payer plan.
Look, it leads me to be very disappointed that the best choice we have is Obama. I mean, I like Obama as a man, I think, and I don't have anything really against moderate conservatives, which is what Obama really is. He's just, I wish we had somebody way to the left of there, because I think we have heavy lifting to do in terms of fixing the things that we do inefficiently.
Mm-hmm. Now, is health care a personal concern of yours, George?
Sure.
What,
yeah.
How does it
because
play
I have
your
pre-existing
life?
Conditions, and I've been a self-employed architect for a long time, and I have not been unable at times to get any kind of health care insurance, and I've been simply at risk. And when I can get insurance, it's insanely expensive. I am now old enough so that I'm Medicare covered and I'm in a different universe. But until then, our net worth could have been easily wiped out by a single major illness.
Now, Rena Koshy, you're the person at the table who actually is involved in the healthcare system.
Yes.
As a family practice physician, but that doesn't necessarily mean that healthcare is at the top of your concerns when it comes to the presidential race. What is?
It is, actually.
It is.
And I will say it's healthcare, education, and the economy. And I say it in that order because we have to fix healthcare first, because we're spending far too much on healthcare now that we're not spending enough money on education, which would then get our kids to get higher paying jobs and get the economy going in different directions. And so I really like Obamacare. I like the Affordable Care Act. I like the direction it's going in. And it is a start. It's a huge start. And it gets everybody in the system. Then the next question is obviously, well, how are we going to pay for this? We have to bring costs down. If you started with, let's bring costs down, nothing would have gotten passed. If we want care for everybody when they need it at a better price, we have to change the system. Something's got to change.
Linda Carlson, you described yourself as a right-leaning Democrat. Is that accurate?
I would definitely call myself a fiscal conservative, but I'm much more socially liberal. And one of the reasons that I cannot vote for Romney is Romney and Paul Ryan, because it is very, very important to me, as somebody who had her children late in life, that women retain the right to choice when it comes to pregnancy. And I also have a daughter. You know, I think I could be more comfortable with Romney if he hadn't selected Paul Ryan, but if he were willing to be, well, if he didn't address abortion as something horrible. And so that's the reason, the major reason I will vote for Obama. And I'm very concerned about the economy, which is, you know, comes in with the fiscal conservatism. And I think the national debt is horrible. I think we're spending way too much money. We're spending way too much money on frivolous things, and certainly health care is an example. We are self-insured as a family, and I think our premium is $750 a month for three of us, and we have a $7,000 deductible. Obviously, those are my concerns.
I want to get back to the economy, because we keep hearing over and over again that's the overriding issue nationally, and you mentioned that, Rena, is one of your top three issues. And is the state of the economy right now since the Great Recession affected your lives personally at all? How about you, George, as an independent business person?
It's an enormous effect. I mean, in the architecture business, I'm probably earning a third of what I was earning in 2009. If you imagine somebody took a beer and put it in a blender, all of a sudden you got a blender, you know, full of foam. Well, when that settles back to being beer again, it's still going to only fill the bottom third of the jug.
And that beer is the economy.
And the beer is the economy.
Yeah. You're listening to The Conversation on KUOW. It's a conversation we recorded last week with six local people from a wide range of political perspectives about what matters to them in this election. The economy is an overriding issue. Mitt Romney says that President Obama has not done enough, and he can change that. I asked George, our self-described socialist independent, what he thinks about the way that Obama and Romney are discussing the economy.
I think both of them are talking about an economy based on growth. We all live in a finite universe. We have a planet with a limited amount of resources. We're, you know, you're looking at the oceans, looking at the atmosphere, looking at the global warming, looking at all these things. We're looking at things that we are way out of control. Mm.
Rob, you wanted to jump in here.
Sure. So I hear what you're saying about the kind of limitations that you perceive on the economy. But from the perspective of the technology industry, we're seeing, you know, really growth and opportunity that is brand new and kind of unimagined even, you know, a few years ago. And the ability for someone to have an idea, start a small business, launch that business in the marketplace, and meet unmet needs of customers has never in the history of the world been as high as it is today. So from that perspective, if you look at what's possible with technology, it seems like we should actually have a lot of optimism about the potential for growth. And we should be looking for ways to create a culture that stimulates that kind of growth.
Pam, I want to bring you in here to ask you whether the economy, the Great Recession, has affected your life personally.
Yes. The entire legal profession found that business was down for the last several years, I would say. And it's coming back up now, but it's not back to, I would say, pre-recession levels. But on the other hand, I think that this was the worst economic situation since the Great Depression. And I look back at history and see that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did not bring employment up to pre-Depression levels until the war. Heaven forbid that we should have to have another war to bring employment up. But it took a long time. And I think it was very optimistic for people to think that we would return to pre-recession levels in 4 years. I don't even know if we'll return to them in 8 years. And I think what the last speaker said brings up a good point. I think our economy is in a transition. Some of those old manufacturing jobs, they're never going to come back. Mm-hmm. Technology is kind of where it's going to be at for the next foreseeable future, I guess. And people are going to have to be retrained.
Linda, how about you? Has the economy affected you? And does that influence at all what you think about the presidency?
It doesn't influence what I think about the presidency so much, but I will tell you, as my husband reminds me, every time we have to write a college tuition check, if the economy were stronger and interest levels were up where they had been, we would have interest income to pay college tuition, which we're paying for engineering school for a child. And there's no interest income anymore. But I wanted to speak on what Rob had said about there's unbelievable opportunities for people to start businesses. And I think the big issue, I mean, I agree with you, there's a lot of unmet needs and there is a lot of very creative people out there, but there's very little financing available. I mean, you look at what Amazon did. You know, the joke is that, yeah, they rented a house with a garage so they could stay. They got started in a garage. But the reality is that that guy had tons of money behind him, and he's been able to grow very fast. Where, you know, if a Hewlett-Packard kind of thing were going to get started today, where would they go for money? And where would they go to hire the skills that they needed? I mean, that's one of the things that really concerns me about the economy. I mean, I even think about the Boeing bust, you know, when we had the famous sign, "Well, the last person to leave Seattle," and the number of companies that got started then, like Sage, which was making fly rods. There was all sorts of creativity that was in the marketplace, but it was at a time when things were relatively cheap and people could still get financing. And one way they could get financing doesn't exist today, because in those days people still had equity in their houses,
right?
And they don't today.
Well, where does that lead you when you start thinking about these two presidential candidates that have talked a lot about the economy, each of them?
I don't think either one of them has a clue. And I mean, Obama didn't have enough experience going into office, but he was certainly the only candidate you could vote for. And Mitt makes a big deal about having business experience. But as anybody who has been in business knows, running a huge business is very different than running the government. And yes, we assume he knows what a bottom line is, but he has always been at such a lofty level. I mean, he's never been at a startup level.
I want to get Rick in here because I want to ask you this question I've asked everyone. As an anesthesiologist, I assume business is always good. But have you been affected by the recession?
We did see initially some drop in elective cases. But even those elective cases are really only semi-elective. They affect people's lives so much that they eventually have to be done. This has gone on so long that we've seen those people come back. I've seen much more effect more in our family life.
Linda just said neither of these guys, the presidential candidates, have a clue when it comes to fixing the economy. Do you see it that way?
No, I don't. I think Obama had a chance when he first came in to focus on jobs and the economy, and he focused on ACA, on the Affordable Care Act. He used a lot of his political capital there instead of moving into where he needed to go, which I think was more focus on the economy. A president doesn't create jobs. I think what they do is create a climate, though. And I think there would be a certain amount of confidence in having Romney at the head as opposed to having Obama at the head from small businesses. The banks have a lot of money. We're pumping $40 billion a month into them. We're just giving it to them to try to put out there. Businesses are sitting on a lot of money. We don't see a lot of demand at the moment. But I think a lot of this is just confidence related.
Rita, you wanted to jump in there on the question of the economy and the candidates.
Yeah, so in family practice, it's primary care, mostly prevention. I've seen a lot fewer people in the clinic, mainly because people have lost their jobs, lost insurance, have to pay out of pocket, so they're putting off visits if they can. Or what I've seen is people waiting until they maybe get a new job, save up a whole bunch of questions maybe for a year, and then come in. And the problem with that is that then you lose a lot of opportunity to prevent problems. In a population that I'm working in now, they're educated and they've got a lot of reserve to sort of make decisions that can keep them healthy. But in other populations I've worked at, when people lose that job, they lose their income, they can't take their medications, they get sicker, and it puts everybody back in their family, and it's harder for them to recover. Thinking about the candidates, I think between Romney and Obama, how is this going to change? I see that Romney is going to have more of the small government and everyone sort of solve this problem on your own, put it back on the states to solve the problem on their own. And I see that that's just actually going to increase the gap between those that are able to kind of dig into reserves, either savings or their education, and be flexible and find another job, and then widen the gap between those who don't have an education that allows them to move around. So if those factory jobs aren't coming back, those families then don't have an income for several years. Obama, on the other hand, has been trying to get more education, trying to diversify the economy, trying to put some money into kind of push a new market of green technology. I mean, at least it's heading in a direction of not everyone on their own, but let's try to solve this together.
You're listening to a citizen panel that we convened last Friday to talk about issues having to do with the upcoming election. Stay tuned. When our program continues, the focus turns to statewide issues. We recruited them through our Public Insight Network. It's our attempt to reach out to as many of you as possible and include your knowledge in our reporting. If you'd like to become a member of the Public Insight Network, go to KUOW.org. And in a moment more from Rob Franco, Rick Ware, Pam Akano, George Robertson, Rena Koshy, and Linda Carlson. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.